Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we welcome Brandon Godsey. And I had such a nerd geek moment when he decided that he was going to be on the show because, I know when you stumble on his website, mysimplechanges.com, if you're hungry at all, you will be like me and be blown away just by what you first start to see with his recipes and his amazing photography of food. But what he's all about and what you'll learn in this episode is certainly much more than that, than what you see at a superficial level when you first go to this site. Brandon is somebody that has been dealing with serious autoimmune issues. He has Crohn's disease and has become somebody that has, like so many outstanding individuals, many of whom who have been on the show, by his own journey and by figuring stuff out on his own through lifestyle and dietary choice changes, he has figured out a way to live with some of these very serious conditions that he has. And he's become very passionate about spreading that knowledge and what he's learned and his experiences and his ups and downs with everyone else. I mean, that's truly, in my book, the definition of Fitfluential. That's exactly what I want to do, not only with this podcast, but really with everything that we do on Fitfluential platforms, is bring to you people like this who have figured it out. And we all can learn from all of these folks. You know, sometimes we'll have somebody on the show who has moved into a vegan lifestyle. You might not be vegan or want to be vegan, but I guarantee you can learn something from how they've bettered their health, whether it's through some of their food choices, some of the things they eliminated. Maybe it's meditation that you learned about in that interview or what have you. So I encourage you to keep listening, even when you think, oh, you know, this episode might not be for me. I don't have Crohn's disease. I can guarantee you, whether you have Crohn's disease or any kind of serious, you know, stomach issues, I certainly do, your gut health, this is what we're hearing more and more about. Your gut health is going to be one of the top key indicators of your overall health and how, frankly, it's going to affect your fitness journey and your fitness results as well. So I guarantee you, you will learn something amazing from this episode and you will definitely be inspired. And once you head on over to Brandon's site, you will be hungry and you will also... Really, what his site did for me, particularly with everything I've been cutting out of my diet recently, particularly with everything I've been learning in the processed foods area, how that's affecting my body and my, I don't know, just everything in a negative way. When I stumble on a site like Brandon's and everything he's offering with all of his recipes and the pure ingredients, it makes me want to start baking and cooking more at home and making some of my own stuff that fits my macros, that fits my way of eating. Because, you know, life is too short to walk around with a stomach ache all day, whether it's something as extreme as folks with Crohn's disease or whether it's just that you are very sensitive to things like gluten and dairy, as so many of us are. So I'm excited for you to learn from Brandon. This was a fantastic interview. He's a very humble guy, very knowledgeable. Tune in, let us know what you think of the episodes. We certainly will have him back on. But for now, sit down, enjoy, get ready to get hungry after you check out his site and listen to my interview with Brandon Godsey. Hey, everybody, we are here and ready to go. Brandon, welcome to the show. Super stoked for this interview, really. And I'm sure they picked that up when we talked earlier. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I am. Thank you for having me.
Let's we are going to dive right in. And everybody, when you finish listening to this, first of all, I know from the interview that we do here, you are going to learn so much that is going to benefit
your life and how you feel, how you look and feel for the long term. This is really going to make an impact on your health, not just your fitness journey. I was so geeked out when I got an email from, it was either Brandon, it was either from you or your publicist. And I clicked through mm-hmm. and I saw your site, My Simple Changes. That alone, just your title of everything that you have online, My Simple Changes. I'm like, wow, that's so perfect for what we would recommend people in the Fitfluential
cool.
race, which is My Simple Changes. And then when I saw that you actually have all these amazing, absolutely drool-inducing recipes that address inflammation and healthy gut, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is the perfect storm of awesomeness, because so many of us have issues with inflammation. We probably don't know it. We aren't under, there's so many people that don't understand what healthy gut is, why it's important. So we're going to address all of that. But first and foremost, let's let everyone get to know you and who you are, that you've become
okay, cool.
case of awesome online. I'm so, so excited. So tell us and tell our audience, you know, obviously I've kind of given them a preview of what you're all about and what you focus on, but when was it for mm-hmm. you that you first started, you know, chasing or pursuing a healthy lifestyle for yourself, and why was that? And then how, if it wasn't with what you do now with My Simple Changes, if that came later, tell us what was the impetus for that? What started that? And it's back to you. You start and go.
Okay, great. Well, it was about, let's see, well, this has been a long journey. So about 4 years ago, 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. I grew up with ailments and a ton of autoimmune disorders that eventually just led and got worse and worse and worse to the diagnosis of Crohn's disease. And then 8 years ago, it got so bad and it was mismanaged, and I personally mismanaged it and had 18 inches of my intestine cut out. But I stayed on the plan and kept thinking that the plan was healing me, but kind of knowing that it wasn't. Then 4 years ago, I had a reaction to my medication that gave me a horrible case of shingles. And what I realized was from this shingles, because shingles usually comes later in life because your immune system is weak enough to where it exposes the shingles virus that pretty much kind of lies dormant. It's related to the chickenpox virus. And so I realized that if this medication is making my body this weak that and susceptible to these diseases that I'm supposed to get later in life, then obviously the next step of this is something that I'm probably not going to be able to come back from. So at that point, I decided, all right, it's up to me to read every label, to read every ingredient, to research, to listen, pay attention, trial and error. And then through 4 years, I've just kind of developed into an obsession. And about 2 years ago, I realized, like, man, I have this wealth of knowledge now and I'm feeling these results. So why don't I put this into something that's good and use my creative background with editing and shooting and acting and everything and be able to kind of combine all of these talents to be able to help people so that they don't have to go through what I have, and to educate people on an anti-inflammatory diet and how that plays in and building bacteria back in the body. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. It took me 2 years to launch My Simple Changes, mainly because I did most of it.
It's by a beautiful. Myself. I need to hire you for our second phase of Fitfluential. We're really going to be focusing quite a lot on that's a whole side note. We're doing a lot of new things in what I call Fitfluential 2.0. You know, the first 6 years were us doing a lot of blogger campaigns and influencer campaigns, and that's where we started. And now I'm just really, really dedicated to serving our greater audience, and that's folks that are really needing the guidance and the education, a lot of which we're providing on this podcast, and hence why I was so excited to see what you had to offer. Because again, I feel very strongly, I've been dealing with my own, and it's an ongoing discovery, I'm sure you agree, just as you shared here. 12 years ago, 8 years ago, 4 years ago, and this isn't going to stop for you. You'll figure things out that as you get older, you know, your body changes. I found for me, as I progress on my health journey, the more that I make dietary changes and as I get healthier, I get more and more sensitive to, for lack of a better way of saying it, just the bad crap. That's a good thing, you know, but I've just realized in the past several weeks, and I've been sharing this on my own personal social platforms, that dealing with a lot of inflammation, and then that's one of the things that I love about socials. You put it out there, you share, and your audience can sometimes bring things to mind that you hadn't even thought about. And, you know, several people said this or that, and I started to think about, you know, gluten and where I was having gluten. And I did a test. I realized I'm so much more sensitive to gluten than I ever thought, but I digress. I just think it certainly, I love that you shared this wasn't something overnight. I mean, it sounds like, I actually know a friend of my sister's who still suffers from Crohn's disease, and that's intense. And having,
oh man. Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine that's a serious, serious thing. I just love that you went on this really rough journey yourself. Obviously you shared a lot of trial and error, and you've come to find quite a lot of solutions, but to take the time to develop a site and share that knowledge is awesome. And you, what you've had on there on your site and your Instagram, I mean, I'm just telling you, you're going to wait to listen to our interview, but get ready to be seated. Don't be in your car, and you might want to get ready to go grocery shopping afterwards. Cause when you see what he has on his site and on Instagram, you will first of all be drooling like I was. And second of all, you'll go, wait, this is the kind of stuff that I can be eating and making, and this is going to help my gut and my inflammation and help me feel better. Yeah. It's people like Brandon that make, you know, this fitness world complete. Cause someone like me, I know what I'm not supposed to have, but I could never come up with the stuff that you've come up with. So snaps to you up front.
I appreciate that.
I mean, it's what you've done is a beautiful thing. And I certainly want to make sure that we let everybody in the Fitfluential community know about this, because again, I think you'd probably agree, a lot of people start down a health journey and then they think it's all about deprivation. And they think, if I'm going to be healthy, if I'm dealing with Crohn's disease, or I'm dealing with IBS, or I'm dealing with just overall sensitivity, it's just, I'm facing a life of denial and I can't have my favorite cookies and I can't have this. You know, one look at your site, and I always say this too, you know, one walk into a store like Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, how can anybody say that being healthy is not yummy, for lack of a better term? You know, let me ask you that for the first question. You know, do you run into a lot of people who that maybe, you know, buy your services? You know, I'm guessing you probably have cookbooks and things of that nature. I haven't taken a deep dive on your site, but do you deal with that objection a lot, that people think getting healthier means you can't enjoy anything? And what do you say to that?
Well, I'm actually working on the first cookbook now.
Awesome.
And,
I did an advanced plug for you.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, thank you. Oh man, I deal with that every day. I found that it depends on what part of the country you live in and what you're exposed to and what information you have accessible to you, and really what ingredients are pushed in grocery stores, and basically just kind of, it changes, because I grew up in the Midwest. So when I go back there, I have to do a lot of explaining, not in a bad way, but but it's just because I live in Los Angeles now, where it's a very health conscious area. So when I bring this up to people in Los Angeles, a lot of people are already on that mindset and that movement. So, so a lot of the recipes and everything that I've created on the site are all based around healing inflammation in the body. Mm-hmm. And, with the message of, you know, and letting you know that you can still keep the things that you love to eat, but you can get the best versions of that. And it doesn't cost really that much more. It just, all it is just a little bit more knowledge of what you're consuming. And that's really the logic that I've taken with this the whole time.
That makes sense. And again, I love that you say that the title of your site alone is My Simple Changes. It takes the intimidation factor down. And really, that's what I want to do with folks I'm interviewing on the podcast, you know, and asking them to come and be a guest, whether it's on you know, taking over our Instagram for a day, you know, being on some Facebook Lives with us. I know because I was that person 15 years ago when I was just getting started, getting healthy. There's really that need for community and accountability, but also the ability to ask questions and not feel like there's so many people that have questions about their stomach issues or about their weight.
Oh yeah.
Starting a diet, and they won't go to a nutritionist or a dietitian. They won't go to a doctor. Mm-hmm. They won't go to a trainer because they're, you know, there's all these preconceived notions about cost, about what that means. Mm-hmm. So I think this is what I consider my opportunity, which is to provide a lot of information, make people feel comfortable. Like, hey, you're not alone. There's a lot of other folks that have gone through this. There's some amazing folks out there like you. I mean, I literally had no idea if you already had a cookbook or if you're creating it, but that's awesome because make sure you keep in touch with me because when it's ready, we want to make sure that we promote that because again, so many folks, it's the best thing in the world to understand that for me, you know, like when I have to cut out certain foods and then I'm like, oh man, but I really have a sweet tooth. And to have
a
cookbook that gives you what you need. So I'm getting ahead, but certainly, and I've given you like an advance plug, but make sure you keep in touch with me on that. You didn't even know I was going
to
do that.
I wanted to say one thing though about change is that, you know, even we all have issues with change. Like even I have issues with change on things, even the healthy things that I could get a healthier version. It's still hard for me to give it up. So that's why it's important to realize that this is a long process of changing one thing at a time to build a sustainable, long-term, healthy lifestyle. So that your future self can be thankful that you slowly made, you know, if you make one change a day over 100 days, you're going to make 100 changes instead of just cutting it cold turkey. That's short-term fixing instead of long-term, you know?
That's a great point. In fact, again, that's definitely what I'm trying to get across with all of our guests and letting people be comfortable. Like, hey, this isn't, if you want to get healthier, I mean, if that's what people want to do, if they want to get one of these books or programs that are these extreme 90-day transformations, I don't want to say that's horrible. Some people, their psychology is built that way. They do well being on a very regimented program. But for others, I know there's a lot of folks, you know, all my friends and colleagues in the air quotes business world where I come from before founding Fitfluential, right? I know what they're like. I know how they make excuses and how they think that to be, I'm using air quotes again over here, fitness people, healthy people are like those people over there and it can't be them. Well, that's not true. This is accessible to everyone. So I love your approach about the simple changes and that they do add up over time. And incidentally, I think this might be a good thing to cover before we get into the specifics on, you know, what is inflammation? How does food affect that? And so on, because so many people don't even really get what inflammation is. But one of the things that I've noticed, and I think this should be encouraging for a lot of other people, because they'll hear, oh, gluten's bad for you, or they'll hear dairy's bad and they're thinking, I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of media messaging out there, whether it's appropriate or not.
Yeah.
And they think, oh my God, you know, I could never not have dairy. That's ice cream. That's cottage cheese. That's this. And they immediately have this resistance thinking, I can't do that. And yet I'm going to ask what you think. When you start to make simple changes, like my simple changes, right? When you start to do one by one and you start to slowly but surely add up better choices in how you eat and how you move and how you go to sleep, you will find, and this is what I've found, and I want to see if you agree, that the more that I make those changes, they do have an accumulation effect. So there's that cumulative bonus. The more, as you start cutting things out, you will start to realize that for me, for example, I think I referenced this in the beginning of the show. I've realized just recently, I used to think, well, if I'm going to have an indulgence meal or a cheat meal, whatever you want to call it, I'm okay having gluten. Like it would be okay for me to go get a cheeseburger with a bun, whatever. That's actually not the case for me anymore. And what I found, because I'm tuning into my body and the signals that it gives me, if I have gluten, I get a headache. If I have excessive sugar, immediate headache. With dairy, it's stomach problems and potentially, you know, I can sometimes get hives from that. Would you say that as you for yourself, but also the universal you, as you start to make better changes, and become in tune with your body, you'll start to see more like the clear tie between what food does to you. And for me, it's kind of like, okay, I enjoy chocolate or I enjoy sugar and I enjoy donuts. But what I don't enjoy is living with that headache immediately. It's like, it's easier to make those choices because you're going, you know what? No, I love ice cream, but I don't feel like having a bloated stomach and looking like I'm 9 months pregnant for half the day. Do you agree that that's kind of what happens over time?
Well, I think that a lot of it, you know, for me at least in this process, is once I started to realize what was in certain foods and how it affected you, and really started to become educated, it became a lot easier for me to make the changes. That I did the same thing where I would, I can eat one cheeseburger today. Like, oh, I haven't eaten a cheeseburger in 3 or 4 days, but really the once you realize like what that one cheeseburger does and how it just resets the whole process, you start to it doesn't become as appealing anymore. So and as I've started to change these and implement, you know, new spices and new ingredients and built those into my routine, I don't even think about getting cheeseburgers anymore. I think about getting the cheeseburger that I like that actually fits the anti-inflammatory mold. But it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind type of thing.
Yeah.
And looking at it, understanding exactly who that cheeseburger is, if it was a person,
you know? Yeah. And when you, it's funny. I've had several podcast interviews this week. Kimmy, the founder of the Weekly Juicery, I interviewed her yesterday and we were talking about live vegetable juices and the way that she makes them with the USDA certified organic. And we were talking about, excuse me, how there's all these air quotes, you know, healthy juices out there that are mostly sugar, full of fruit, full of added whatever. And even just the way that they're, I hope I'm saying it right. I don't know if it's high pressure, something or other.
Cold pressed?
Yeah. Well, I think she was talking about either HPP. There was something that she said, so many of those juices, when they're treated with high pressure so they can be shelf stable, her juices are only going to be okay for you for 48 to 72 hours because they're live. And she was going through why that's important. But most specifically, we talked on that show about the pesticides on vegetables. And so she's like, look, when I create my green juice, which is kale, and there's this much kale in it, I have to use organic. Otherwise, she said, I don't think people get that when the regular kale that's not organic is sprayed with pesticides, the people are in a full hazmat suit. She said, do you want to eat something and give something to your kids that's, oh, great, it's kale and it's cool and it's healthy, but it's being sprayed with a guy who won't even let that spray come near him. He's wearing a hazmat suit. Those are the types of things to me, you know, to what you just said, you think about what you're consuming. We really need to pay attention because that can be a whole other show. What is allowed in this country versus other countries in food?
Oh man.
It's crazy. And all of that can contribute to some of these pretty intense diseases or disorders. You know, that's a whole other show, right?
Yeah. I don't think that it's like something that we've been tricked on with how our food quality has gotten worse over the last couple of decades. I think it's just something that we've evolved into with the concept of, you know, saving costs and getting product visibility and, you know, free enterprise and everybody can make a product. I think that has led us into this. But I do think that now we're waking up to where we're cleaning this up because we can, like right now, we can communicate so much easier on information that we can't hide, you know, a lot of things from the mass amount of people anymore, if that makes sense.
Very true. And, you know, if you really think about it, you know, I see so many people that will get up in arms about, you know, let's just say big CPG companies, right? You know, the Kraft Foods, the Campbell Soups, the General Mills, et cetera. I I understand, but sometimes you want to say to people like, okay, let's take it back a notch and understand that the reason these companies developed was out of demand. And the reason they developed these products for mass production, for being shelf stable, is because that's what this country was demanding. They wanted that accessibility. Mm-hmm. That was a sign of the times. And now that we are aware, hey, guess what? That's not good for us. I don't think most of those products were created. People weren't making canned green beans going, let's kill people. You know, it was
exactly.
There's nothing wrong with capitalism. So I actually feel,
yep, exactly.
Oh, I wouldn't want to be a Kraft Foods or a General Mills right now going, or a Campbell's Soup saying, golly, what do we do? You know, this is what everyone's wanted. And now everybody wants fresh and organic and non-GMO and non-shelf stable. How do we address that?
Yeah.
And so I have
they definitely are.
Yeah, definitely. There's an event here in Austin that a friend of mine, Leah Segedy, told me about, Escabona. And I went to that last year. I was unable to attend this year, but it's really all about this food movement. And to see that this non-GMO organic movement, if you will, is making a huge impact on these companies. I mean, several of those companies I just mentioned are experiencing 30, 40% decreases in revenues. That's huge. Plants are closing, jobs mm-hmm. are being lost. But that shows how, you know, folks, if you're listening, your pocketbook, if you will, your purse, your wallet changes. What you do at the grocery store, where you buy your foods, that makes an impact on production in a good way. So we can make the better foods more accessible. And frankly, getting you connected and being able to learn and purchase something from a guy like Brandon, who's out there dedicating his experience and his knowledge to mm-hmm. teaching others. That's awesome. I mean, okay, I just got a little bit Mary Poppins there and got all excited.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, that's true. If you look at like the GMO movement in the last, I think, let's see, probably seven years now, mm-hmm. GMOs are labeled on everything. And before that, it wasn't even known. So when the voice becomes loud enough, the change happens. And the voice is becoming loud enough on a lot of things, because we're 50 million Americans in the United States have autoimmune disorders, and 2 million people in the United States have Crohn's disease. So that's 50 million. That's 1 in 7 people in the United States have an autoimmune disorder. So there's definitely something we're doing, and a lot of it is in our diet, the majority of it.
I wrote that down. Hold on. And actually, that's a perfect jumping off point for diving into autoimmunity and inflammation.
It's okay. I get caught on this.
I just have to say this is really, I know, because again, I was that person for years. We hear a lot about, let's start with autoimmune. Okay. That's a phrase mm-hmm. that I know a lot of our listeners are like, and that could have been me 5 years ago, autoimmune disease. You know what I would say if someone said that to me? I'm like, I don't know what that is. And so mm-hmm. even though maybe I should have known that, being a fitness freak or a fitness fanatic, whatever, I know there are legions of people out there that when they hear the phrase autoimmune disorder or autoimmune disease, what is that? How would you describe that to somebody who has no idea what that is?
So the easiest way to kind of put it is, so you have good and bad bacteria in your body, and good bacteria in certain parts is bad bacteria in other parts. And with an autoimmune disorder or disease, your immune system actually thinks that it's being attacked. So it sends an inflammatory response, and that in turn causes inflammation, when in fact, maybe it isn't even being attacked by foreign invaders. So through that, it causes an inflammatory response. Inflammation happens to protect the area that it, you know, it feels is under attack. And then it just spirals from there.
So for me, like I have Hashimoto's hypothyroidism, and that's an autoimmune disease, because when I did all of my research, I've done so much research on hormonal imbalance and hormonal health. And when I understood, mm-hmm. I used to not get the difference between hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. And I realized what the difference is Hashimoto's is an autoimmune. And so my thyroid internally is always feeling like it's under attack. And when you start to, instead of, this is also what I'm very passionate about, Brandon, is people in our country, you know that the trend is, oh, I have Hashimoto's, I have hyperthyroidism, give me a pill for that. Instead of figuring really mean, why is this happening? Luckily, I have an amazing doctor. He's also been interviewed on the show, Dr. Lane Sebring, who that's what he does with me is he'll go, you know, let's think about this. Like, here's what your blood work shows and here's what your blood work shows last time. So what's going on with your cortisol? What could be this? Instead of going, here's a pill for your cortisol. Like that's
a great doctor to have.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, that's an aside. I'm like, Dr. Sebring, we have to get what your knowledge is and what your approach is and get a system out there. Because what I do know is typical doctors today are not going to necessarily veer from the training they've had back in medical school to start practicing medicine. But if they had something accessible from the good doctors, and you know, Dr. Lane Sebring is just one of them, but there are just not enough. And what I think their legacy needs to be is they've got to provide the training so that the next generation of doctors can be treating patients this way, because that's a game changer. Is if you, in half the time when I go to see Dr. Sebring, he'll be telling me what to eat versus what, you know, instead of giving me a pill. But I digress again. He's just amazing. But that was a really good explanation for autoimmune disorder. And then again, a perfect jumping off point, because the next thing that you address with My Simple Changes is dealing with inflammation. And I also believe, as I was one of them, that there are, and we get a lot of questions on this at Fitfluential. People go, what do you mean when you talk about inflammatory or inflammation? My parents ask me this all the time. They're like, I don't understand. What's inflammation? How would you, because I know there's legions of folks out there, both men and women, how do you define inflammation and how people can recognize I'm experiencing inflammation?
Oh man, that's a
loaded question.
We may be here for a while. Yeah. Well, a certain thing, at a certain point, I realized that with my Crohn's disease is that the Crohn's was almost an extension from the inflammation. So if instead of taking a certain pill or medication or something that heal the inflammation and ultimately heal the Crohn's disease. So I started to really focus on everything that caused inflammation in your lifestyle or in your body. So you got to think that when you start to heal inflammation, by certain substances cause your wrists, your hands to swell up, or your mouth to swell up, or rashes, or hives, or canker sores, or even internally you could have, you know, your intestine throbs. That was a very common thing with my Crohn's disease, is the throbbing feeling from my intestine. That is a certain substance that's irritating that part of your body. So it's really important to realize that, you know, in a single meal, you could consume 100 different substances, not necessarily ingredients, but, you know, added things into that meal. And as they break down and they absorb into your body, they're going to react in different ways in different parts of your body. So the more that you heal, the more that you can identify where your reactions are coming from. So like with my diet, I'm so in tune and I know every ingredient that I eat, that when I do a trial and error type of thing, I can tell exactly how that is reacting in my body and if it's good or bad. So
that makes sense.
It took a while, you know, but the more you start to heal, the more you start to feel it. You feel when things are not right.
And you'll become more in tuned with your body. You really will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a very serious, I mean, Crohn's is, I mean, serious. I remember.
Yeah. It's not a fair disease. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's intense, but for everybody, I'll use myself as a non, you know, I don't have anything near as extreme as Crohn's, but, for me, let me share with you guys, the audience, what it's been like for me to start to recognize, and it doesn't always happen right away. Sometimes as healthier as I've gotten in my diet and my lifestyle, sometimes I'm still going, this literally just happened to me and I've been sharing it on my social channels the past 6 weeks. Sometimes things happen and I still am so maybe too focused on work or stress that I don't put two and two together. But then when you do, you'll go, oh my God. And I did. I had this situation where the past 6 or 7 weeks, I just had tons of headaches all the time. And instead of me paying attention to them as, why am I getting a headache every single day? I got into that bad habit of, well, I'll just take Excedrin because I wanted to get rid of the pain. I said, I don't have time for this. So, and I also stopped paying attention to the fact that it was happening every day and that I was taking Excedrin several times a day. Then I started to wake up every single night at 2 a.m. with upper abdominal pains. And I was, you know, this was every single night. And then I was having, you know, these bumps and kind of, I thought it was hives on my neck. And, you know, basically what I'm sharing with everybody, that should be like, that should have been the hugest red light in the world. Inflammation. Hello. My body screaming out at me. Something is not right here. Now I've finally, it kind of took me really getting off my game, ending up with 2 weeks in a row of migraines that left me, you know, on my couch, unable to move for 3 days. That was last week. And then this week, and really just reverse engineering going, okay, what have I been doing? And I realized I'd really started to make some, you will probably balk at this, but I've always been somebody, people hate me for this. I really like diet soda. Okay. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not, it is what it is. I had really,
okay. I'm not, this is a judge free zone.
Judge free zone. Some people go, oh, Kelly, diet soda. And, you know, it's like, give me a break. You know, we all have our things, but I was kidding myself because I thought, oh, I'm having maybe one a day. Well, that one a day quickly turned into three a day. And I was having quite a lot more. So again, a good thing about social, I was sharing this and all of these symptoms I was having. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And I felt kind of stupid. You know, here I am, this healthy person. And all of this, I can't sleep. And I have, you know, my neck's itching. I've got all these bumps. And, you know, people were writing to me going, have you thought about this? I had that situation when I cut out aspartame and all diet soda. And I literally had that aha moment 3 days ago. And I'm like, I took all the diet soda out of my house. And I've cut cold turkey before. And I did it again. But again, for everybody listening, I'm using myself as an example to say, you can still discover things. It's an ongoing journey, but when you do, you'll be able to reverse engineer and quite frankly, make yourself better with a lot of, it's not a pill. It's sometimes food and lifestyle choices. And actually that's a perfect question for you, Brandon, because when I first looked at your site, it's all about amazing food and very clean ingredients. And I'm thinking, wow. I mean, there was one, there was like two chocolate cookies with bananas in the middle. That's going to haunt me all day in a good way. But would you say that what I just shared is accurate, that quite a lot of inflammation and chronic inflammation that so many of us have for whatever reason, whatever the cause, that a lot of it can be cured or addressed. I don't want to say necessarily cured. Can it be addressed with food?
Yeah, your symptoms can be alleviated, we'll put it at that. Maybe not exactly cured, because a way to look at it is, if you put that substance back in your body, you're still going to have the same effect from it. So even if your body is healthier, that substance is still going to affect your body when it's consumed. So if I guess cured would be maybe never putting it, you know, avoiding it, everything at all costs. But the truth is that you're going to be exposed to things. And so it's always going to be a trial and error thing. So that's why it's important to just pay attention to what you're consuming and how it affects you. And did that answer your question? Sorry, I kind of got off.
No, you did. And that makes sense. Okay. That's actually a really good point, because I wasn't, you know, what people need to understand is, get away from this mindset that is so prevalent in our country of, I have something wrong with me, let me take a pill for it. You know, instead try to figure out what's wrong. And in many cases that will be, for me, you know, I've done a test specifically in the past couple of weeks with gluten, and I tried several gluten things and immediately had a headache. And so for me, I'm saying, I just put some stuff up this morning. I'm like, I'm so much more sensitive to gluten than I thought. It's kind of a bummer, but it is what it is. So I'm not going to keep putting that back in my body. And in fact, my trainer, Blaine, I was sharing with him, you know, he knows I've been going through a really rough 4 to 6 week period with just lots of different things and feeling off my game. And he's very good at listening to me about what's going on and letting me vent and kind of find my own answers. But he had shared something you alluded to earlier, which is, you know, when you reintroduce things, you know, sugar or gluten, I think he was referring to it, it stays in your body. It's not just that day. That's actually staying in your body. Can you maybe elaborate on that too? I think what he was saying is, and I'm paraphrasing, that, you know, when I have, if I'm, say I go gluten-free for a long time and then I have a regular pizza that's not gluten-free crust. Like, that's not just affecting me that day. In that case, and people listening, this is not what I'm saying necessarily about weight loss. This is about health. But if I go back and I do have gluten and I'm somebody who's really sensitive to that, that stays in your system. Isn't it like up to 2 weeks or something like that?
I'm not exactly sure on how I would guess that it probably varies depending on the different type of food and substance on how it can break down. And then also depends on the level of enzymes and stuff in your stomach and acids in your stomach that break down food. So I think that would probably be a case by case basis on a lot of things, but I do think like meat is known to sit in, it slowly digests and just sits in your stomach for long periods of time. So you got to think that meat is known to cause inflammation. So if it's in your body for a long time, it's going to take you a while to recover from something like that. So one thing I did want to mention though, was, you know, taking diet sodas out of your lifestyle. And like we talked about earlier with capitalism and how, you know, that was kind of in a negative aspect, but in the positive aspect of it is it is free enterprise. And there are a lot of smart people out in our country, and we have a lot of products now that taste just as good as diet soda, but avoid the aspartame and avoid the caramel coloring and avoid, or, you know, whatever different aspects that could be affecting you. So,
very true.
I think that what I always tell people, the first thing that you should probably do if you're looking to heal inflammation is to go and take a food allergy test. A blood food allergy test. That's the first thing I did 4 years ago after the shingles, because I would have never known. I'm allergic to apples and tomatoes and cilantro and thyme. I would have never known that because,
I'm thinking of salsa with cilantro, and I'm like, wow.
But I found ways to get around it and still create recipes and stuff that still taste good. I mean, some of them are really hard to think about, but once you eliminate, like, because tomatoes are traditionally healthy for you, but they're not healthy for me. So once you understand those, you can eliminate those foods right away. And that's going to cure that inflammation from just those simple foods. And then once you start to learn more about, you know, the binders and the food colorings and the inorganic substances that were generated in labs or sprayed on everything that made their way to where we consume it, is you'll start to learn, it becomes easier to identify that stuff. So I would recommend getting a food allergy test, a blood one probably.
That makes sense. I'm a strong advocate, and by that token I would say we at Fitfluential definitely recommend folks becoming their own health advocate. And that means in this case, getting a blood food allergy test, getting blood work in general, and regularly getting blood work. One of the things that my doctor's working with me on when he says, Kelly, get your blood work done. Sometimes I can put it off because I'm like, I'm feeling really good. And this is in regards to my bioidentical hormonal replacement treatment. But if I let things go, there's so many things that can affect a woman's hormones in particular. We have like a symphony of hormones that needs to be addressed. And I realize when I put that blood work off and then the blood work takes that long to get to my doctor, you know, then by that time, things can shift. And in fact, the last time I went to see him, my testosterone had gotten really, really low again and my estrogen had gotten high. And I saw how that affected me from a physical standpoint. It's good that I now know, okay, we tweak that. We bring the estrogen down. We increase the testosterone. That can fix me. But because I wasn't paying attention to getting it done in a timely manner, so much, folks, there's so many great tests out there, whether it's, you know, blood work, there's some great DNA testing, but, you know, again, become your own health advocate. Look at your body as the temple that it is. You're capable of so much more. And it's not just when you're young, don't kid yourself. There are people that are getting the best shape and health and wellness and looking at longevity, like, you know, we've never looked at it before. I don't even like to use the phrase anti-aging. Just look at aging as an awesome opportunity because, for example, I'm 48 years old. I feel like I'm in the best shape and health so far of my life, and I'm only going to be getting better. I'm not going, oh, well, my time is done. That's not the case at all, but it does require kind of being your own detective. I'm curious, and we'll make sure we link up to some online resources and what you said for blood food allergy tests that people can be getting that done in their own area. I'm also going to link up to another guest we had on Fitfluential Radio, which is Lynn, and I always butcher her last name. I think it's Genet, G-E-N-E-T. She has a book out called The Plan. And really, my whole interview with her and everything that she talks about in her book is exactly what you said, which is finding out your food intolerances, because I love the way you put it. You said, tomatoes are typically healthy. They're not healthy for me. And so many people don't think that. And she, you know, will work with, she's a dietary nutritionist. She'll work with clients and realize for many of them, you know, not only dairy, but things like pineapple are very inflammatory for some people. Things like cucumbers can be very inflammatory for some people. So find out what's healthy for you. I want to link that up. And back as well to what you said about capitalism, I agree. And that should encourage everybody listening as well. The great thing is, as consumers have become more savvy about becoming label readers, and as they have tuned in and said, okay, I want USDA certified organic, I want non-GMO, and they're looking, there are more and more companies making really great products, whether it's frozen foods, protein powders that are not dairy. I mean, that's wonderful for me. It used to all be just whey or soy. And for me, that's just my personal choice. I avoid soy. Yeah. And so many people now, there's pea protein, there's all these kinds of plant proteins, and they're delicious. It used to be, and I know you'll probably agree, that there was a time period where something new would come out and be a plant protein and you go taste it and you're like, it was bad. But now food's really tasting good. In fact, I'm also thinking of one of the clients we work with. I did a Facebook Live for them earlier this week, Beatnik Foods. They're here in Austin. They have labels on these paleo foods that are everything you could have in your kitchen. Nothing is something I can't pronounce. Those are the types of foods, if you're buying like a product that's wrapped in it and it has a label, that's awesome that that's there. So I love that you brought that up. That's a good point, because some people, I think, get very intimidated if they think they have to go make everything, even though no one's going to go to your site and not want to make everything. But it can be intimidating and time consuming when suddenly you're looking at, okay, coconut flour versus regular flour or almond or you know, some of these ingredients people are not as familiar with. That can be very intimidating and expensive upfront to consider. But I suggest it's almost like developing a home gym. You develop it over time. Buy a few pieces, start adding, and start expanding. So I love that you brought that up. One of the things we're kind of getting close to, we've gone over, but this was so worth it for us to go over our normal time. I'd really like to have you back on the show. But
I would like, that'd be great.
Because I think we could talk about so much. And again, you just have so many, such a great viewpoint and such great experience, such great life experience. But I'm curious for folks that are listening, maybe this can be like a closing takeaway, a starter takeaway. You know, there's a lot of people listening that probably are starting to realize, wow, you know, that's inflammation, me getting these canker sores all the time. Or, you know, I have felt that my hands are swollen or I get headaches a lot and right after I eat. And they're probably starting to think about things. What would you recommend is, you know, some simple changes to use your website? What would be some simple changes for somebody, again, who's just starting? What would you say? Do you recommend people start cutting out dairy? Do you recommend that they cut gluten? Is it not that extreme? What would you say are some initial that could be good for anybody who's just starting to say, I think I need to eat better? What would you say are some simple changes that you'd recommend?
Well, I would definitely cut out those two that you just named. Those are two of the biggest for inflammation. And you have to think also too, is like, it's not, gluten gets a really bad rap, but there's also other substances in bread or in beer, like yeast and other things that could be causing inflammation in your body. Mm-hmm. And so I would definitely, first and foremost, I would cut out dairy and gluten. I would cut out any processed foods, refined sugars. I would cut those out right away. And just kind of shift your logic on incorporating greens and organic things. I would cut out organic because, you know, this whole process comes, it starts with the seed and it ends with, you know, you consuming it. And so through that whole life cycle, you have to realize that, you know, it comes, what you're, the thing you're consuming comes in contact with a lot of different methods. So first and foremost, we'll stick there. Just dairy, gluten, processed foods, refined sugars. And also realizing that yourself is only you. So you're at a different part of this process. And a diet or a lifestyle change or, you know, a fad that's happening may not be, like you mentioned, pineapples. Pineapples are actually an anti-inflammatory food, but really? To some people, it causes inflammation. Mm-hmm. So you have to realize that you are at a different level of inflammation. You're at a different level of your makeup. You're solely unique to you. So it's really, that's why it's even more important to pay attention to how you're feeling instead of just going with what the general mass of how you should treat it would be is. So, because everything is case by case basis, you know.
A perfect layup for me to be completely self-promotional, but I'm going to be unshamelessly self-promotional. But seriously, with Fitfluential, our tagline is "We are fitness found," right? But I take that a step further to say what our passion is going forward is helping people find their fitness, and to, the way that I define that is. My goal with this show, with everything we do on Fitfluential, on our platforms, with the guests that we have on like you, is helping each person to just what you said, find what's right for them. What's healthy for Brandon might not be healthy for me. And what he can do as far as working out, he might love Zumba and CrossFit. For that might be his jam, right? For me, I might love CrossFit, but I might also love to run. And that doesn't mean that my choice is better than his or better than anyone else. And so I love that you just said that, like, don't necessarily look at the prevailing wisdom out there and say, that's right. You know, I mean, there is a lot of wisdom out there right now that says excessive cardio is not good for you. Some people can still, because they say, hey, I still love to go for an hour long run 3 times a week. There's a lot of trainers out there that would not recommend that, or, you know, excessive marathons. And a lot of folks would say, oh, that's bad. It's bringing down the body. But you know what? For some people, if that's what they love and it gives them stress relief and it's not breaking down their body, that's their choice. And that's what we encourage. Mm-hmm. Listen to the information, make educated choices, but most importantly, become your own health advocate, become your own health detective. And when you start to have things happen like, you get canker sores all the time. Don't just think, well, let me go buy something and put it on the canker sore. Figure out what's giving you the canker sore. That's your body giving you a message. So I love that you said that. And again, that's what we encourage folks to do. We want to help you find your fitness because it is unique to each one of us. Brandon, cool. This was a really, I mean, obviously I was geeking out when you wrote to us. Geeking out when we first talked. I'm so excited about this. I will probably be on your website and stalking you on Instagram more than you know. We will link everybody up in the show notes at Fitfluential Radio. But Brandon, for those that are listening, where would you send them? Where can they find you and stalk you online?
You can go to mysimplechanges.com or our Instagram. My Instagram page is mysimplechanges, or also on Facebook as mysimplechanges. Awesome. So pretty easy there. Yeah.
Yeah. And you will, I'm just warning you, sit down, you'll be really hungry and really excited. You'll just be blown away. I'm literally blown away. And I told him, you have to do an Instagram takeover, maybe a Facebook Live, because I'm obsessed and I want to watch you make some of this stuff. Look, it's just amazing. It will really, I challenge anybody to go to his sites and say, oh, I don't want to eat any of that. And look at the ingredients. It's amazing. And your photography is outstanding. So,
oh, cool. Thank you.
You know, just mentally drooling over everything that you create. I definitely want to have you back. I think these are topics that, you know, there's a lot of talk out there about gut health and inflammation, but I don't think enough is broken down into, you know, how does this affect, you know, your average person? So we'll definitely talk about having you back on the show. Thank you so much for giving us your time today. This was an extraordinary lesson. I learned a lot, and Your journey is so inspiring. You're definitely what I would say is the definition of Fitfluential. So thank you for being on the show. We will definitely have you back. For everybody listening, if you have any questions in particular for Brandon for the next time we have him on the show, you can email that to podcast@fitfluential.com, and we will make sure that we address that. And again, we'll hopefully have him on some of our channels soon. Until then, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. The show notes will be at fitfluentialradio.com. Make sure you are subscribed to us on iTunes and everywhere online, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.